Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the Financial Times weekly probe into the foreign exchange market. A week in which the phrases currency wars and political risk are in the minds of traders. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is having a game of golf with President Trump this weekend, but will it be shouts of four being drowned out by shouts of Forex manipulator from the American president? I'm sorry about that terrible joke. The American president, who thinks Japan is deliberately engineering a weak yen to the competitive disadvantage of American companies. And is it time to start worrying about European elections and their impact on the euro? With me to chat about these things is Jeremy Cook, the chief economist at the international payments company World First. Jeremy, let's start with the yen. The yen is weak, isn't it?
It is. And certainly the weakness that we've seen since the election has been quite pronounced. But in the grand scheme of things, certainly since the inauguration, we've seen dollar yen come lower from about 120 down to 112. So the weakness is starting to be stymied, certainly.
And why do you think that is?
I think there's, it's an element of dollar weakness, a little bit of the buy the election, sell the inauguration trade, which was very, very popular. We've also seen some fairly good data out of the Japanese economy over the course of the past couple of weeks or so. So it's an unwinding of what was quite an overbought position.
But is Trump generally right that over the years, Japan has been seeking a weaker yen and has been getting its way?
Yes, but then again, they are not the only currency manipulator out there at the moment, and to say that they are would be wrong. We know that on the campaign trail, it's explicitly targeted China as a currency manipulator, famously saying that he would label them a currency manipulator in his first day in office and has yet to do so. So to pick on Japan for what is a quite common trait by central banks at the moment would be slightly unfair.
Same is true about Germany and the euro, obviously.
Absolutely, and you know, the slight weakness that we saw in the euro as a result of those comments were laughed off pretty quickly, but it does show that the populist politics and the populist interpretation of what has become quite a normal movement of central bank policy over the course of the past, well, God knows how many years, is starting to show that markets will have to pay more attention to the pronouncements of Donald Trump about economics.
You talk about central bank policies, and obviously QE was invented by the Americans,
wasn't it? So. It was, and you know, my adage about currency wars is that everyone weakens, then everyone weakens again, and then they continue to weaken, and the US always wins as a result of its reserve currency status. So, I mean, the genesis of this is a little bit closer to home than Tokyo.
Yeah. So Trump is trying to talk down the dollar.
Yeah.
Is he likely to succeed? There's, first of all, the whole question about debate about a strong or a weak dollar and the contrasting or contradictory nature of Trump policies about this. So what's likely to come out of it?
I think that Donald Trump's going to have to start to realize that he is no longer a CEO and he is a president. And
right.
CEOs get what they want and presidents don't normally get what they want. And to balance up his economic stimulus plans, the kind of things that he talked about the economy during his campaign, with a weaker US dollar would only do one thing, and that would create fairly rampant inflation within the US economy, which the Fed is already starting to hint is coming through, and therefore will need control via higher interest rates. So I don't think he's going to be able to balance that out. Either he keeps his campaign promises and the dollar continues to weaken, or he sits there and says the dollar has to be stronger.
But extracting some kind of concession from each country he wants to do a bilateral trade deal is the best he can achieve?
Well, I think it will be in the very, very short term. But you know, as we're increasingly hearing here in Brexit Britain, trade deals take a long time to be negotiated, mm-hmm. and therefore a country, for example China, will not allow FX policy to be the first thing on the docket. There will be many, many things that have to be negotiated before the big prime prize of some control over dollar yuan will be put on the table.
Yes.
So near-term wins, which Donald Trump has tried to do since coming into the Oval Office about the wall and the flight ban and the repealing of Obamacare, I don't think he would get it on the currency side of things.
Okay. Let's talk about European politics. So Brexit 2016, Trump 2016. Le Pen 2017?
No, and I think the risk of the French elections are overpriced at the moment.
Right.
And I think that she goes the way of her dad back in 2002, where gets into the second round, and then everyone rallies behind the other candidate and says, we can't have a Le Pen leading France. The movements that we've started to see in, you know, the French-German spread, and certainly the euro in the short term, we think are overdone, and actually we think the summer could be quite a positive time for the European single currency.
So just coming up, there was a knee-jerk reaction this week, you think?
Yeah, knee-jerk reaction this week, and we joked in the office saying that if the market's getting worried about the French elections, then it's really going to blow their mind that there's a Dutch election in 5 weeks' time.
What do you think about the Dutch thing?
Well, we think the risk of the French election is overpriced, the risk of the Dutch election is overpriced. Sorry, underpriced.
It's underpriced
at the moment. Right. That although there's a lot of fear around Geert Wilders, the leader of the PVV party, a far-right party, which is anti-EU, anti-the euro, anti-immigration, the fragmented nature of Dutch politics means that they're unlikely to win a majority, but that any coalition building that takes place therefore in Holland afterwards would be very, very difficult without that party. So a centre-right coalition would have to involve two parties which are also quite anti-immigration, quite anti-EU. A centre-left coalition, they simply don't have the numbers for.
Okay, but the relevance of Holland on itself, it's not that on its own that's important. It's the sentiment it spreads across Europe.
Sentiment that it spreads across the EU at a very, very difficult time for the European Union at the moment. Certainly if we have, let's say, a centre-right coalition, minority government in Holland, that we are getting into a European Union situation where we're starting the Brexit negotiations. And as much as the UK will find it difficult to negotiate with 27 member states, the European Union may find it difficult if one of their 27 member states is certainly slightly has a government which is slightly more anti-EU than it was 6 months beforehand.
But I apologies if I interrupted your medium-term thoughts, which was about the euro and what you think is going to be happening later on in the year with it.
Later on in the year, so we forecast weakness into the Dutch elections, which are March the 15th, and then a rally back for the single currency over the course of the second half of the year following the French elections and the German elections to actually pass without a relative hitch. So euro sterling, for example, forecasting it down to 83 over the course of the Dutch elections and then back up to maybe 90 by the end of the year. Euro dollar, a parity trade around there by the end of Q1, and then quite easily, obviously depending on Donald Trump, and there's a lot of dependency on Donald Trump and the impact of his stimulus, but euro dollar at 110 is by no means out of the realms of possibility on a knee-jerk positive reaction post Marine Le Pen losing in the second round.
Yes, and just finally, Jeremy, I mean, we talk about political risk and we talk about currency wars, but data, it just feels like, you know, the dependable thing for investors is keep a hold of the data. That's the thing that's been on the background for a while but might come back again.
I mean, the driver of currencies will always be monetary policy. It's always interest rates, regardless of the political situation out there at the moment, and the divergence trade between a Federal Reserve, which is looking at an unemployment market which has somewhat close to full employment, wages that are continuing to be created around 2.5%, which is a decent amount of wage creation, inflation starting to run higher. That divergence trade between US-UK, US-Europe, US-Japan continues to bolster the trend and the belief in the trend of a higher US dollar. So if an investor wants to sit there and park the political fears for now, we think there's going to be broad volatility in the trend, but the trend will continue to remain.
Do you think there's such a thing as political risk fatigue coming down the line?
I think traders are starting to feel that at the moment. The first 4 or 5 weeks of this year have been a real chop fest. I mean, people have been chopped up, kicking and screaming right, left and centre. And I think this slight pause that we've seen in the past 10 days or so is the market taking the foot off the accelerator, saying we can't put up with this for the entire year. Right. The grey hairs are starting to multiply, I can see already.
My thanks to Jeremy Cook of World First. Join us again next week for Hard Currency and the next instalment of Political Risk, Currency Wars and everything else in the Forex market. In the meantime, it's goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.